Chapter 9. 11:25 GMT. When Tash had hung up, Mel switched her phone to a display mode, with heavy filters to screen out unwelcome calls. While around her the sky thrust glowed in the unnatural dark, fluorescence had been lit up inside the bulk of the gondola so that the whole structure shone from within. Lantern drones hovered over the heads of the guests in the clear-roofed observation sections. Even the quilt of vacuum tubes high above the main ship sparkled with star-like lanterns. And in the transparent observation bubbles around the perimeter of the main deck, waiters, human and drone, circulated with food and snacks, and the hubbub of conversation was growing louder. It seemed that for better or worse, the crew had decided to turn the event into a kind of impromptu party, presumably to keep the passengers relatively calm and distracted. At first, Marlowe had snapped and growled about the light pollution. This was supposed to be an astronomy platform, but after a while accepted there was little more to see, with the naked eye, anyhow. So she and Mel stalked the deck, trying to avoid personal contact, especially with anybody who looked like a reporter, a correspondent or an influencer. And after a time, Marlowe, trying to think, had even waved away most of the phone calls Mel tried to pass through to her. At length, Marlowe stopped walking, grabbed a tall glass of gin and tonic from a hovering drone, and gulped half of it down. "Oh, enough of this. You know, Mel, I'm not really thinking here. I'm trying to avoid thinking, to avoid the obvious conclusion. The causal factor that lies behind all this, because it's hard for a rationalist like me to bear." She paused, and Mel sensed she needed a little help. Paradoxical. But there you were. And besides, Mel suspected she was coming to the same conclusion independently. "Go on," she said cautiously. "Let's look at the evidence again," Marlowe said. "The disturbance seems to have come out of the sun at light speed, or rather the absence was experienced at light speed. The absence of the light, 8 minutes to the Earth, the sunlight fails. We see secondary effects, the dimming of the corona, of the light reflected from the planets, all clearly regulated by light speed, orderly, predictable. But then the spacecraft out there start to drift. Hard to explain that away by a mere blocking of the sunlight. Your friend Shi on the lodestone, drifting away from its exquisite point of balance of forces, of the gravity of Earth, Sun, the thrust of their magnetic sail. Further out, the Mars ship, itself on a long, slow orbit around the Sun, bringing it from Mars to the Earth. Now, off course. In fact, according to the data coming out of the NHSA, now heading out in a straight line, tangent to their old orbit. As if you whirled a conker around your head and cut the string. It goes flying off." "There's more evidence, actually," Mel said. "Close-in spacecraft orbiting the Sun, Mercury, all losing their orbital paths. And as I suspect, over a longer period, we will see the drift of the planets from their orbits too. Maybe perceptible already." "We should plot it all," Marlowe said. "The timings, gravitational effects spread at light speed. I'm prepared to bet we will find the loss of gravity, the effects spread out at light speed also. It took 40 minutes before Jupiter felt it, in his giant bones. We should keep checking the gravity wave records too. An event as huge as this surely left some secondary signatures of that kind. Especially within the orbit of Mercury." "Yes," Mel said cautiously. "But what event?" Marlowe eyed her. "I think you know as well as I do. The Sun's mass generated its gravity field. The only way we know to remove that field is..." She hesitated, as if reluctant to say it aloud, "is to remove the Sun, its rest mass, and thus taking away, incidentally, the core furnace that provides us with sunlight." Mel had come reluctantly to the same conclusion. "It fits the evidence, and it's not even as if it's a gentle push away." Marlowe snapped her fingers. Poof, a magic trick. or a science fiction teleport. Sun there, sun gone. Impossible. But we have the evidence. We have the evidence, Marlowe said severely. And one should never deny evidence. No. Do you think we're the first to come up with this? Marlowe shrugged. Doubt it. Lots of clever people in the world. But we may be the first to shout about it. She sighed. Let's do our duty. Are you still in contact with your pet minister in the English government? Mel whispered into her phone.